Christian Life and Doctrine, March 2025. The Conversion of Saul. As he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven. And he fell to the earth, and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? Acts 9, verse 3 and 4. The Gospel of Luke. And the Acts of the Apostles were both written by Luke, Luke 1, verse 3 and 4, Acts 1, verse 1. It is by his authorship that we learn most of what is now available about the life and early ministry of Saul, whose name was changed to Paul upon beginning his missionary work. Acts 13, verse 9. We first learn of Saul at the time when Stephen, considered the first Christian martyr, was stoned to death. The account was recorded by Luke, who wrote, "The witnesses laid down their clothes at a young man's feet, whose name was Saul." Acts 7, verse 58 and 59. This overly zealous Pharisee had willingly participated in young Stephen's death by guarding the garments of those who were hurling the stones that took his life. Luke further writes, "Saul was consenting unto his death, and at that time there was a great persecution against the church which was at Jerusalem, and they were all scattered abroad throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. And devout men carried Stephen to his burial, and made great lamentation over him. As for Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering into every house, and hailing men and women committed them to prison." Acts 8, verse 1 through 3. Saul, no doubt, had a special reason for wanting to travel to Damascus. In his misdirected zeal, he was not satisfied to limit his activity against members of the early church at Jerusalem, and he sought to pursue some of those who may have escaped. Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest, and desired of him letters to Damascus to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. Acts 9, verse 1 and 2. A blinding light. While en route to Damascus with his traveling companions, he was suddenly struck blind by a brilliant light from heaven. And he fell to the earth, and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he trembling and astonished said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? Acts 9, verse 3 through 6. When Saul realized that the one confronting him was the Lord Jesus whom he was opposing, he was greatly frightened and confused. The men which journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing a voice, but seeing no man. And Saul arose from the earth, and when his eyes were opened, he saw no man. But they led him by the hand, and brought him into Damascus. And he was 3 days without sight, and neither did eat nor drink. Acts 9, verse 7 through 9. Saul meets Ananias. As a result of this very powerful and humbling experience, Saul had a complete change of heart. He had lost his misdirected zeal, self-confidence, and self-assurance. At the time this incident took place, there was a disciple to whom the Lord had already appeared in a vision and instructed him to go to Saul. There was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias, and to him said the Lord in a vision, Ananias. And he said, Behold, I am here, Lord. And the Lord said unto him, Arise, and go into the street which is called Straight, and inquire in the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus. For behold, he prayeth, and hath seen in a vision a man named Ananias coming in, and putting his hand on him, that he might receive his sight. Verses 10 through 12. The prayers of Saul did not go unheeded. We read further, Then Ananias answered, Lord, I have heard by many of this man how much evil he hath done to thy saints at Jerusalem. And here he hath authority from the chief priests to bind all that call on thy name. But the Lord said unto him, Go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me, to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel, for I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. Verses 13 through 16. Israel's favor. Ending. This episode in the life of Saul occurred about 1 year before the Jewish people's exclusive favor was to end. In these words to Ananias, our Lord gave one of the first direct indications that Gentiles would soon be invited to share in the spiritual body of Christ. Ananias did as he had been instructed. He went his way and entered into the house, and putting his hands on him said, Brother Saul, the Lord, even Jesus, that appeared unto thee in the way as thou camest, hath sent me, that thou mightest receive thy sight and and be filled with the Holy Spirit. Verse 17. It is of particular note that Ananias greeted the blind Saul with the words, "Brother Saul." His eyesight was immediately restored, and he was baptized into Christ. Verse 18. Having been without food for 3 days and nights, he ate and was strengthened, and stayed with the disciples at Damascus for several more days. Luke then informs us, "Straightway he preached Christ in the synagogues, that he is the Son of God." Verses 19 and 20. How remarkable is the fact that those Christians in Damascus, whom he had come to forcibly take back to Jerusalem, where they were likely to be killed, he had now joined in proclaiming the gospel of Christ, taught by God. At the time that Luke wrote this account, he did not give details as to how Saul obtained his very deep understanding of the scriptures. However, we do learn some of this information from the apostle's own writings. In his letter to the Galatians, he confirms his appointment as an apostle by Jesus and the Heavenly Father. He wrote, "Paul, an apostle, not of men, neither by man, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father, who raised him from the dead." Galatians 1 verse 1. The apostle then proceeded to write about his complete conversion from that of obeying and pleasing men and his fervent zeal for Judaism to that of obeying and pleasing God. He proclaimed, "As we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed. For do I now persuade men, or God? Or do I seek to please men? For if I yet pleased men, I should not be the servant of Christ. But I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man. For I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. For ye have heard of my conversation," Greek, behavior or conduct, "in time past in the Jews' religion, how that beyond measure I persecuted the church of God, and wasted it, and profited in the Jews' religion above many my equals in mine own nation, being more exceedingly zealous of the traditions of my fathers." Galatians 1 verse 9 through 14. He then recalled, "When it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb, and called me by his grace, to reveal his Son in me, that I might preach him among the heathen. Immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood, neither went I up to Jerusalem to them which were apostles before me, but I went into Arabia, and returned again unto Damascus." Verses 15 through 17. The apostle speaks of God having sent him into Arabia to receive very special knowledge through direct revelations. This was a great honor and privilege, but it did not make him either proud or high-minded, as he later revealed in his letter to the brethren at Corinth. "I am the least of the apostles, that am not meet to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God." 1 Corinthians 15, verse 9. It is likely that one of the reasons why God did not instruct him to go to Jerusalem after leaving Arabia was because of the very strong feelings that had been generated against him, and which continued to prevail there. Some still did not trust him, and might believe that he was secretly trying to entrap them in some way. A humble servant. The special calling of Saul of Tarsus, and the direct revelations that were given to him by our Lord Jesus and the Heavenly Father, are confirmed again in his second letter to the Corinthians. He acknowledged that anyone who had undergone experiences such as he had might have a tendency to boast about them. He answered that possible question by saying, "This boasting will do no good, but I must go on. I will reluctantly tell about visions and revelations from the Lord. I was caught up to the third heaven 14 years ago. Whether I was in my body or out of my body, I don't know. Only God knows. Yes, only God knows whether I was in my body or outside my body. But I do know that I was caught up to paradise and heard things so astounding that they cannot be expressed in words, things no human is allowed to tell. That experience is worth boasting about, but I'm not going to do it. I will boast only about my weaknesses. If I wanted to boast, I would be no fool in doing so, because I would be telling the truth. But I won't do it, because I don't want anyone to give me credit beyond what they can see in my life or hear in my message, even though I have received such wonderful revelations from God. So to keep me from becoming proud, I was given a thorn in my flesh, a messenger from Satan, to torment me and keep me from becoming proud." 2 Corinthians 12, verse 1 through 7, New Living Translation, Special Revelations. The scriptural account does not tell us how long Saul was in Arabia receiving these special revelations, but it was perhaps of some length. After this remarkable experience, we learn that he returned to Damascus, and straightway he preached Christ in the synagogues that he is the Son of God. The reaction of the unbelieving Jews in Damascus was one of amazement, knowing that Saul had come there before to take the believers in Christ as his prisoners. No one, however, could refute his powerful logic when preaching of the resurrected Lord Jesus. Acts 9, verse 20 through 22. Not all who heard him preach appreciated his message, and a plan was undertaken to silence him. After that, many days were fulfilled. The Jews took counsel to kill him. When the brethren learned of their plot, they helped Saul to escape and make his way back to Jerusalem. However, the apostles and disciples at Jerusalem were still afraid of him, thinking that he had entered in among them to spy. Verses 23 through 25. Saul goes to Jerusalem. Most of the brethren at Jerusalem found it difficult to accept Saul as a true brother in Christ. However, there was one particular disciple, whose name was Barnabas, who realized that Saul had been truly converted to Christ. He saw the great apostle for what he truly was. He had been convinced that Saul's remarkable experiences had come from no other source but the Lord himself. Barnabas knew that the matter with the other brethren at Jerusalem had to be resolved, and he took the opportunity to speak with him. He then took Saul to the apostles and insisted that they learn the truth of the matter firsthand and of the complete change that had occurred in his life. Acts 9, verse 26 and 27. Verse 27 states, Barnabas took him, and brought him to the apostles, and declared unto them how he had seen the Lord in the way, and that he had spoken to him, and how he had preached boldly at Damascus in the name of Jesus. Afterward, the apostles and disciples did accept Saul and welcomed him to become one of them by entering into their activities and speaking in the name of the Lord Jesus. Verse 28. Hellenists sought his life. As Saul ministered in Jerusalem, his preaching brought him in contact with the Hellenists, who also began plotting against him. He spake boldly in the name of the Lord Jesus, and disputed against the Grecians, but they went about to slay him, which when the brethren knew, they brought him down to Caesarea and sent him forth to Tarsus. Acts 9, verse 29 and 30. The word Grecians in the foregoing account means Hellenists, and refers to those Jews who spoke Greek. Saul's logical and persuasive preaching of the scriptures caused a disturbance among some of them. This was not unusual, because problems among them had occurred before. Luke records, In those days, when the number of the disciples was multiplied, there arose a murmuring of the Grecians against the Hebrews, because their widows were neglected in the daily ministration. Acts 6, verse 1. Now, as had been the case at Damascus, in Jerusalem, they also plotted against Saul, and sought ways to take his life. The disciples in Jerusalem learned of the Hellenists' plot to kill Saul, and for his own safety, they persuaded him to return to his home in Tarsus, which was a city in Asia Minor in the province of Cilicia. They provided for his safe escort by way of Caesarea, a port city from which he was able to sail to Tarsus. He remained there for a period of time, perhaps 2 years. Luke wrote, Then had the churches rest throughout all Judea and Galilee and Samaria, and were edified, and walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Spirit were multiplied. Acts 9, verse 31. Gladly was the word received. During this time, the Lord caused a respite from the severe persecution that had been directed against his special people, which had existed since the time of Jesus' crucifixion. This was no doubt very beneficial to the members of the early church. As a result, the communal arrangement that had been tried for a time became less important and soon ended. Acts 4, verse 32 through 35. It is noteworthy that there is no further mention in the scriptures concerning this type of shared close living social structure, either continuing or being revived among those of the brethren living at that time. The main interest of Luke, the historian, in writing an account of the Acts of the Apostles was in connection with the spiritual growth and development of the followers of our Lord. He recorded for us information that large numbers of believers were added to the church at that time. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. Acts 2 verse 41, 4 verse 4. The increase in the numbers of brethren in the church came from all the ranks of Israel, and showed how God's blessed high calling was yet exclusively upon that nation, even as their special favor was rapidly coming to an end. Israel's favor ends. The nation of Israel's special time of favor ended, even as it had been foretold centuries earlier by their prophets. Among God's prophets was Amos, who wrote, "Hear this word that the Lord hath spoken against you, O children of Israel, against the whole family which I brought up from the land of Egypt, saying, You only have I known of all the families of the earth, therefore I will punish you for all your iniquities." Amos 3 verse 1 and 2. When Jesus' ministry was drawing to a close, he taught an important lesson concerning Israel, using a fig tree with no fruit on it as an illustration. Matthew records, "When Jesus saw a fig tree in the way, he came to it, and found nothing thereon, but leaves only, and said unto it, Let no fruit grow on thee henceforward forever. And presently the fig tree withered away. And when the disciples saw it, they marveled, saying, How soon is the fig tree withered away?" Matthew 21, verse 19 and 20. Jesus proclaimed that Israel's house would be left desolate soon after his crucifixion and earthly ministry had been completed. He said, "O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that kills the prophets and stones them which are sent unto thee, how often would I have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathers her chickens under her wings, and ye would not. Behold, your house is left unto you desolate. For I say unto you, ye shall not see me henceforth, till ye shall say, Blessed is he that comes in the name of the Lord." Matthew 23, verse 37 through 39. Paul's labor not in vain. When Saul's name was changed to Paul, as recorded in Acts 13, verse 9, and he began his missionary journeys, this great apostle became very prominent among Jesus' followers. It is evident that he rose above even some of the original 12 apostles, who are rarely named outside of the apostolic lists. Yet Paul remained humble. He wrote, "By the grace of God I am what I am, and his grace which was bestowed upon me was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me." 1 Corinthians 15, verse 10. Let us remember the extraordinary life of this one Saul, who did a complete about-face when he was enlightened by the Lord, then becoming the great apostle Paul. May we remember, too, and emulate his constant attitude of humility, meekness, and complete dedication to the Lord's work placed before him, all accomplished, as he himself said, "by the grace which was bestowed upon me."